Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's read here in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. It says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting around about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of signs falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." You find here in this chapter of scriptures that we find two exhortations toward vain babblings, or we would say even to conversations, religious conversations, against things of disputing and getting into disputes and controversies with people. I know this, that when we look into the Christian realms, what we say, Christianity covers a broad perspective. When we would find so many people with so many different indoctrinations, we would find that people that would call themselves and profess Christian or Christianity, we would find that would be in such a gross error to this word that we're reading here this evening. But still yet they find Christianity. Our Catholic brothers and sisters, we might say, saying that in the fact that they may be false brothers and sisters, but giving allowance for grace of God, knowing that Catholic doctrine you cannot find salvation in, but in case they can, by the mercies and the grace of God, come to a knowledge of the truth and find the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I say that in a way that, you know, to leave an allowance for the grace of God. But there again, they use the term Christianity themselves. The priests even consider themselves as being Christians. They consider themselves to be the early church or the first church. And they believe in you know, all the way back, coming out from under the Lord Jesus at the Pope, being Peter the first Pope. But then yet we find such a base teachings within their doctrines, but still yet refer to themselves as Christians. We find that Mormonism, when we get into some of their teachings, that we find gross error within them. We find many beautiful truths in the Mormon teaching. And again, it's not to slander here other things, but it's better to unveil things, brothers and sisters, and know, for we're not moved by every wind of doctrine. We're not tossed to and fro, and we're not going to find ourselves entangled or ensnared with foolish controversies and vain things as such. And a lot of times, again, was the exhortation goes forth here in the Word about getting caught up in these things. But then yet the Bible teaches also that the pastor is to be apt to teach, should be able to teach doctrines many times in this day and hour. We find that many preachers refrain from preaching doctrine. And the reason they do that, because this is where controversies would come in, or where people would find offense and they would be offended. But then yet we're commanded in the Word to teach doctrine. We're commanded to teach doctrine and to be about the apostles' doctrine. And then we get into, there's much to be involved in doctrine. You know, why do we think the term indoctrinated? You know, it's because you're indoctrinated in the Word of God. And without doctrine, you cannot have salvation. You cannot have God. Because we have to understand doctrine. There's too many things. If we didn't need doctrine, there wouldn't have been any need to put anything down on the written page within the Word here, because we don't need any doctrine. We don't need to be indoctrinated. But the Bible said that it's hearing the Word perfects faith and brings faith. Is by hearing of the Word of God. So we need to hear the Word, and if we're hearing the Word, there's a doctrine that's going forth. Then we got to make sure in the Scriptures it commended the Bereans, because they would listen, but they would go study the Scriptures to see. And then the Word exhorts us. It said if they come preaching any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, or what Paul was preaching, it said let them be accursed. So we find out then, we must understand, how could we know if we don't study doctrine, or if we don't know doctrine, how, brothers and sisters, would we know what to stand in? The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. How would we know what evil communications are if we wasn't indoctrinated in what communications are proper? You see, there's many things. How can we know that if two can walk together, lest they be in agreement? How could I know I could be in agreement with a man or with whatever, unless I know doctrine? And the thing is we got to be indoctrinated in the Scriptures and the Word. We don't deviate into any denominationalism. We don't deviate, brothers and sisters, into teachings to say this is why I'm a Baptist, a Methodist, a Church of God, a Pentecostal, or a Holiness, or whatever. We don't do anything to defend denomination. We defend the Word. Because of the way we preach and teach the Word or stay in the Word, if they put a number with us or letters to be something, that's one thing. But the Bible said we were first called Christians in Antioch. And that's what we're in defense of, is Christianity and the Word of God. Not so much into the perspective of, again, defense of denomination. Just as the first part of the sixth chapter we read here, it says, let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor in the name of God and his doctrine. Be not blasphemed. So again, speaking here just for a moment this evening on doctrine and indoctrinations and things that we should know and understand. So people many times say, well, Brother Rob, what is your doctrine? What is your indoctrination? What do you indoctrinate the children of God into? Well, what we do, brothers and sisters, which you very well know, we preach the Word of God. Now, we're going to go to the Mormons. They're going to say the same thing. The Jehovah's Witnesses are going to say the same thing. The Catholics are going to say the same thing. The Baptists are going to say the same thing. The Church of God, the Assemblies of God, the Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists, the Backslid Baptists, the Free Will Baptists, you know, every kind of Baptist that you got, they're going to all say the same thing. We preach the Word, and we stand on the Word of God. So, this is what we find. But here's what should not be. The Bible teaches us that we shouldn't be offended. Now, the thing is I find this as I go down the trails of life, preaching the Word of God and trying to indoctrinate people into the Word. We should be able to come together and and not dispute like the Bible commands us to stay away from here. We don't need to dispute. We need to defend the word. But on the first or second admonishing, if we find and we perceive there's no understanding in a man, the Bible says to depart from them. So there's no need to get into these long, dragged-out controversies and all of these things, because when a man has the Holy Ghost, he has the Spirit of truth within him, and it's promised in the Word it'll lead him into all truth. And I'll tell you this, that a man full of the Spirit of God is always able and ready to listen. The Bible says he'll hear the end of the matter. So many times, sometimes we could perceive, or somebody says something that maybe says, well, wait a minute, that's different than what I've heard, this and that. You'll still hear the end of the matter. You will listen. And you'll find the end of the matter, find out maybe where they're going before you make too prompt to make a judgment on it. We do have to make judgments on a continuous basis of doctrine and different things to make sure that our fellowship, make sure what we're around are submitting to or listening to or letting input come into our heart. I remember as I come out of the radio station, I've shared this with you before, a man came up and he wanted to prophesy. And my spirit was on guard. My spirit was locked up. Because I've heard so many prophecies over the years, the Bible says, despise not prophecy. You see, but I heard so much foolishness in the Pentecostal realms. I'm a Pentecostal preacher, but out in the Pentecostal realms, I would hear so much foolishness in the ways of prophecy, people always having a word. So my spirit was locked up. And the man perceived that, because the gifts and callings are without repentance. And he turned and prophesied over another man. And he was partly right, and then he went into error. And then he prophesied over another man and was in error. And the thing is then the spirit of prophecy came on to me, and I turned and prophesied over him in such a way of an exhortation. When we think of prophecy, there's an exhortation, edification, and comfort. And the thing is we all like to hear comfort. The Bible says, you know, prophesy smooth things. That's what the people of this generation are wanting. You know, they want to hear the smooth things. But see, an exhortation isn't always something that's a smooth thing. An exhortation is something that exhorts you into godliness, into holiness, into virtuous things. Or it exhorts you out of an ungodly lifestyle, or exhorts you out of error or wrong, something that would separate you from God. And it was a strong exhortation that went forth to this man. But the Lord checked me, is what I'm saying. And the reason I said all this, he checked me in my heart, because sometimes we could lock up when God's trying to speak. Sometimes we could lock up, and it's the Lord trying to speak. If we are confident that we are full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Spirit of God, if we're confident in our true born-again experience, God's not going to let you be led into temptation in the way, or let you be led astray into false doctrine. It is impossible. It is impossible, brothers and sisters, for you to be deceived. It is impossible, according to the Scriptures. Even though that the Antichrist move, or the Antichrist spirit that manifests within humanity in this day and hour, according to the Scriptures, there's many Antichrists among us. And this Antichrist spirit will move, and it is a move of deception. And I find that a very high percentage of people professing Christianity in this day and hour are in false doctrine and in deception. Now, if the Scriptures command us not to preach any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus preached, then if I find somebody speaking outside of that indoctrination, the Bible said, let them be accursed. So we know that an individual full of the Holy Ghost could not be accursed. Because ye that are full of the Holy Ghost are not cursed people. We're blessed people. You see, we're people that are partakers of eternal life with Christ. So we're not accursed people. So what we've got to do now, the thing is, the Bible says, again, speaking of ones full of the Spirit of God, he said he has not given ye a spirit of error. There again, I found myself in the early years of ministry, many years back, I found some error in my indoctrinations. But see, I had a hunger, and the Word commands and teaches that he'll lead us into all truth. You see, so the thing is it wasn't imputed to me as sin. The Bible says again, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin, and sin cannot be imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. So see, I'd never come to a rejection of the things that I was indoctrinated into, and this is where the difference comes in. If you reject the Word, the written Word of God, and you reject this to stay into a denomination, we might say. And my purpose here tonight, I'm not here to preach against denomination. I've used that many times as examples because there's so many different denominations. And the reason there's so many different denominations is because there's so many different doctrines. And this one don't fellowship with this denomination. This one don't fellowship with this one. And the simple reason is it's because they have different doctrine. But according to the Word of God and to the Scriptures, that we should see eye to eye. We shouldn't break rank. We shouldn't pierce each other through. You see, and the thing is, if we see eye to eye, that means that we're supposed to be preaching the same word. You see, and the reason there's separations is because of carnal mind. The Bible again teaches that the carnal mind is enmity with God, and this carnal mind has infiltrated itself through into the realms of what we would say religion. So when we find this natural mind, the carnal mind of human reasoning, the carnal mind of indoctrination through colleges and through schooling and different things, and they say, this is what you are, this is the way you believe, and you get a certification of some sort or an indoctrination of some sort to go forth as a minister, this is why we have so many different teachings and different things. So let's think on this for a moment. We find the Lord Jesus, when the apostles came to him with great concern. They came to him and said, you know, Master, it said there's some over here preaching, and they're over here talking about using his name, the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said, well, if it's being preached for contention's sake or what otherwise, you know, praise God. So now we could take, we know the Scriptures line upon line and precept upon precept. So we could say, well, Brother Rob, if they're Baptists over here and they're preaching, or if they're Methodists or whatever they are, you know, or whoever they are, if they're preaching the Lord Jesus, you know, so be it. Praise God. The word's being preached. And we could say, yea and amen. But then yet we got to stay again, word line upon line. And the Bible said that they surpassed land and sea in making twofold more the child of hell. You see, so there's something that we're going to have to be concerned about. We could be lackadaisical, or we could say the Laodicean Day church, you know, this lukewarm church. We could say vomit on the tables of God. And we can think about this Laodicean Day church and the condition that it's in. And this is what people's rights, Laodicean goes back in interpretation, you think of the rights of the people. And we're in an era, brothers and sisters, in a day and hour that everybody wants their rights. The women want their rights. That started with the women move them. And then we come to the sodomites. They want their rights. The homosexuals and them, they want to have their rights that they could say and do and have their part in legislation in America or do whatever they want. It's a move of people's rights. It comes into the church. The preachers, they want their rights. They want the right to bring in the filth, the immorality of the world. They want to bring their rock and roll into the churches. They want to bring their sports and their ball teams and all those things into the churches. You see, they want their rights, but what we got to do is stay with the Word. We find in the readings of the New Testament, there's many things, brothers and sisters, that's laid down. These things are for here for our admiration and our admonishing. They are put here for we can be of sound doctrine and that we can stay within the guidelines of the Word of God. These things are not here to deviate, to change. The Bible says not to remove those old landmarks. You know, we say, well, the Bible says that God's doing a new thing. But doing a new thing is not an abased thing. Doing a new thing does not mean that the old things are done away with. Doing a new thing doesn't mean that we leave the foundations of the apostolic doctrines or the apostles. We don't leave those things to do a new thing. You understand? And we say, well, what is the new thing that God would be doing if it says in the Scriptures? Well, you see, he's doing a new thing in your mind and within your heart when you're growing in the grace and knowledge of God. When you come to a revelation or to a mystery of God, it's something that's new to you and it's fresh to you because God gives that to you in your word. But see, this may be a revelation that Brother Paul had 2,000 years ago. It may be a revelation that maybe I had yesterday. It might be a revelation that another had 3 weeks ago. But you see, it's a new thing to you. It's a fresh. The Spirit of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a quickening spirit. You see, this word isn't something that you could just take and memorize and know the addresses in it, and you could just look around in this word of God and this and that and think, boy, I've already read that. This word of God is alive. This word of God, when we read it, one time we might get a 30-fold measure out of it. The next time we might get a 60-fold measure out of it. And this word is alive. I love to read the word. It might be one word that is revelated to you out of a chapter. It might be one word out of a whole book. But when it's revelated and revealed to you, it brings life. It's like one little seed. You could say, what is in this little seed? But you plant it and it brings forth a tree with much fruit. Those little things in the Word of God are so beautiful and so alive, and that's what we look for and hunger for. But we're still thinking of doctrines and indoctrinations. So what we have to do is we have to stay with the Word. When you have the Spirit of God, when you have the Holy Ghost, you have a hunger for the Word and a hunger for the truth. And it's like an individual once said, they said, I don't want to sit under Brother Rob's teaching. It's not my teaching, it's the Word of God, and it's what the Lord Jesus taught. He says, I don't want to be accountable for those things. I want to stay where I'm at. You know, and hey, I'd just like to be, you know, hey, praise God, thank you, I know that Jesus is my Savior. But the Bible commands us, says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. It teaches us not to do that. It teaches us to go on into doctrines of baptisms, faith, laying on of hands. And he's saying it teaches us to go on from repentance. So we find that in many of our denominational works, we go to church and we go to church and we go to church and we hear salvation, we hear salvation, we hear salvation. Wonderful message. I hope it never ceases to be preached, that people are preaching and encouraging people to come to the knowledge of the truth, to be born again. But you see, when you laying it again over and over and over, then you're in violation of the Word. You see, many people have heard the salvation message. They've heard what it takes to be born of God. And many of them don't really understand even that. Even though it's preached about every service, they really don't understand what the true infilling of the Spirit of God is. They don't really understand what it really is to be born again. I have many people that tell me that they're born again. And because of the gift of discernment, because of the gifts of God, because you'll know. You know, the Bible even teaches them, we think of the eyes being the windows of the soul. And we know, brothers and sisters, God puts something in your heart. You know that when you're standing with the elect of God, you know that when you find the Spirit of God there, you will find something, and it might be a small measure, but you'll know. But many times I have people that say they're born again. If you don't believe that, I can tell you, and I don't encourage people to go out into the abased places of this world, but go and start interviewing people out in the nightclubs in this day and hour. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? You'll find them drunk. You'll find them stoned. You'll find them in immorality. You'll find them in perversion and fornication. You'll find them in adultery, and they'll be confessing Christianity. You see, because there is a deceiver, and his name is Satan. And the thing is that his spirit, the Antichrist spirit, rose up in the ministry of this day and hour. And the reason many people are confessing Christianity or saying that they're born again is because the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light, according to the scriptures, climbed up into the upper lintels into another way. And the preachers are lost. The Bible said they're hirelings, and they all have their part in the lake of fire. But you see, what they're doing is they're indoctrinating people in doctrines, brothers and sisters, and the doctrines that they're preaching are not the Word of God, and they're preaching that for they could think that they have salvation. They want to teach that we can continue on in sin and live in sin and sin every day. In the same breath as saying that you are a Christian or saying that you are born again. See, those are two different worlds and two different lives. You see, according to the Word of God, when we get into understanding the Scriptures and the Word of God, those are two separate individuals. Either you are a child of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus, or you are a sinner. It's one or the other. You can't be both. You understand that? The Bible said that you cannot have, you know, sweet and bitter water coming forth from the same well. And when they're teaching again these things of that they're sinners and sin every day, that's false doctrine. That's doctrines of devils, according to my understanding of the Word of God. The Bible again says that ye that are born of God cannot sin. And the only reason you cannot, because Jesus died for that, put it away. He made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. So now, brothers and sisters, we got to learn. That is the doctrine in the Word of God. When the apostles went to the Lord Jesus, said, but how do we pray? He said, Father, forgive us our trespasses. He didn't say sin because the sin was done away with. He said trespasses. And the reason is because blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. And the fullness of sin is death. And sin is the transgression of the law according to the Word of God and according to the Scriptures. So if the transgression of the law is sin and the fullness of sin is death, then when death has its way, and the death is, the thing would be separation from God. So we do know this, that we have passed from death unto life according to the Scriptures. Death has been conquered. The last enemy of God to be conquered is death. Jesus conquered it there at the cross of Calvary, and I don't think anybody could dispute that. It was conquered when he resurrected and came forth. So this is the indoctrinations and the things that we've got to understand, and it makes it go contrary to many of the churches and to many of the church teachings, but this is what we have to understand. We have to stay with the Word. We got to stay with the Bible and know these things. And there, so even again, if we turned over to first, even I wouldn't plan on going in that direction, but I am going to read some scripture right here to confirm what I'm speaking about right here for we can understand. I'm just going to turn over to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. I'll read a little bit there, and we're going to go back and speak a little bit more on indoctrination. And this is doctrine. This is what we're reading here. We're in 1 John, the 3rd chapter now. And why don't we just go ahead and start there at the beginning of this. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." You see, many people, as I spoke with another minister from a denominational work, he said to me when I was teaching and talking to him in fellowship, that we are the sons of God. And he says, "I can't say that." And I'm thinking, but that's what the Bible teaches us. You see, why couldn't he say that, brothers and sisters? Because it wasn't what they were teaching in the fellowship that he was in. "Behold, what manner of love?" Why can we be called the sons of God? Because the manner of love that the Father has, brothers and sisters, bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Is anybody in him here? I hope so. The Bible says when they asked him over in John 10, he said that "I'm within you and you're within me. And I'm within the Father and the Father's within me." You see? So let's go on. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. When he told the woman that was in adultery there, told her when he comes, said, "Where is your accuser?" And he told her, he said, "Go and sin no more." And I don't think he would have told her something that wouldn't be possible. And again, we don't understand sin as being the actions of things of the immoral base of life. Sin is the transgression of the law. So we have to understand the law, the laying away of the law, the doing away with that, and Jesus putting those things away. Again, verse 6, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." I tell you, that's not my testimony. I know him, because if I don't know him, he don't know me. And if there's no knowing there, there's no conception of his seed. And if we don't know him, we surely can't have salvation of him. Amen. "Little children, let no man deceive you." Little children, let no Baptist preacher. Little children, let no Pentecostal preacher. Little children, let no TBN televangelist deceive you. Okay, I know that's reading in a little bit. You say the Bible says if you add or take away. I'm not adding in, they're men. So it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil." I don't teach you people that you're of the devil. I teach you that you're of God. You're born of God. You see? "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever..." Anybody born again in here? Who are you born of? If you was born of your mother and father the first time, and if you're born again, who are you born of? You're born of God. Amen. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Is this complicated to anybody? I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, it's amazing to me of the controversy that we run into preaching and teaching the Word of God. They done it to Jesus when he preached the Word of God. It was the religious people that wanted to stone him. It was the religious people that took him and put him to death, even though it was ordained in the plan of God. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I'm going to stop there and go in talking about Cain and different things. There's much that could be said there. Now I'm going to turn back just one little bit. I'm going to make this comment because this is most likely where many religious people and thoughts go right here. In 1 John, at the 10th verse, it says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Over in Romans 3, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, now what we have to do to understand that, brothers and sisters, is rend the veil. I did not say at any time in this indoctrination or this teaching that I have not sinned. I say this, now I'm going to speak as a man, born after the similitude of the Adamic nature of Adam. I have a natural father. I have a natural mother. I was born through the womb. Okay, so now we're talking about the first birth. Okay, so I'll say as a man, Jesus was both Son of God and Son of Man. The Bible said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. When they would come to him, he would discern and perceive their spirit, and sometimes he would answer back as a man. Sometimes he would discern the righteousness of the spirit life within them, and he would speak as Christ, the Son of God. You see, and it's the same way. So now I'm going to speak as a man. You see, I was born after the Adamic nature of Adam with a sentence of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. I was a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, but brothers and sisters, I came to a understanding and to the knowledge of the truth. I came to know that I was a sinner, and it was appointed unto me once to die, and that the judgment. So when I come to this understanding, I come to understanding of the need of being born again. Even when Nicodemus went to the Lord Jesus, he went to him and found out that he said that you must, to inherit the kingdom of God, ye must be born again. So what is this new birth? What is this? Is this some kind of a religious philosophy? Is this born again just some kind of a great expression of life? Or is it just some kind of a verbal expression? Or does it make us some kind of a sect of people? Or does it actually just make us to be considered, we can call ourselves Christians because we use this? But you see, when a human is born, there is something that is manifested. There is a life that comes forth from the woman. There is a manifestation of temporal life. The Bible talks about the life of man is like a flower, and it flourishes, and it shines forth its glory and its beauty, and then it fadeth away. You see, this is the first birth. This is the part of man. You see? But then yet when you are born again, and you're born of God, this is what we're reading about here. When you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So when you're born of God, there is a birth into the kingdom of God. We have all these fancy little things that we say as Christians. You know, well, the kingdom of God is within me, and greater is he that's within me. And all these things, those are beautiful things, but we got to understand that. And then when we're born of God, you see, then we're born after him. And when we're born of God, we're born into the spirit world, and you cannot die. The Bible said there is no death, there is no hell, there is no principality, no power, nor nothing that can pluck you out of the hands of God. You know, we get into teachings and stuff, we say John Calvin, we think, go back to the Baptist doctrine, and he said, once saved, always saved. And you say, well, Brother Rob, if this church is indoctrinating, are you going to indoctrinate into that? Oh, amen. I'm going to indoctrinate you that once you're saved, there ain't nothing, brothers and sisters, that can pluck you out of the hands of God. The Bible says that he never lost a one. You say, do you agree with John Calvin? No, I don't. Not at all. He was in false doctrine. And you say, why use him for an example? I could preach some of the things that he preached because he was in line in indoctrination, but then he went into error. I don't believe that once you are born of God, the Bible said that if you go back into the world, it's just to be made manifest that you was never of him. You see, so if again the scriptures say that I prophesied in your name, I cast out devils in your name, and he said, I never knew you, you work of iniquity. He never knew them. And I'll tell you one, if he was born again, he knew them. You can't be born again without God knowing you. He knows you. The Bible said he knows every number of hair on your head. And that knowing again is the conception of that seed of life going within that womb. So when we're truly born of God and we're truly born again, it was like the scripture says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Why cannot you sin? Because that seed remaineth within you. So now we're going to go to the actions for a moment. And you see, we think, well, what is sin? Well, sin is the transgression of the law. So we say, what is the law? Well, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, and we go on down and so forth. So we say that means that we're going to find salvation because we're lining up with the law, not transgressing the law. Is that what it is? Well, the transgression of the law is sin, and the Bible teaches that if you're going to try to come in as by the law, that you're going to have to even do greater than the scribes and the Pharisees done. And I'd like to find somebody in America to this day that could live more of a devout life than what a Jew can. When we go back to the Levitical priesthood and some of the things and the lifestyles that the Jews did, the ritualistics and the separations of the world and the things that they done about and locking themselves away and staying in the scriptures. But see, that's not salvation. But that's what the Bible said. But see, the law was done away with. Jesus came. We read it right here in 1 John 3 there, that the fulfillment of the law, and he fulfilled it every jot and tittle. There was no guile found within his mouth. So if he came and fulfilled that, it was laid away. Then you got to go over to Matthew in the 7th chapter, and it talks about when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh, and it says, and it goes into speaking about the mystery. And then it says that when the man is dead, that the woman could be no longer bound to him. She's not bound to that law of marriage no more. If she went and married another, she wouldn't be considered an adulterer. You see what I'm saying? But see, why did they put those things there? Is it to understand the marriage relationship? Yes, it's the marriage relationship when the Bible said that Jesus is our husbandman. And if Jesus is our husbandman, then we are the bride of Christ and we married unto him. He said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. So we become one with him. We become heirs with him. So there's many things, again, to be said when we go into doctrine. This is doctrine, brothers and sisters. This is the indoctrination that we must learn. This is the things that we must understand and perceive and know, for we're not fuddled up and moved by every wind of doctrine, like the Bible says. It said that they're being tossed to and fro. It talks about the ministers running and beating at the air. You see, but that's not speaking about the ministers of God. You see, this is where we've got to rend veils and understand, and we've got to comprehend. So again, speaking on doctrine and speaking on indoctrination of sin. So we have to understand, again, if sin is a transgression of law, we know what the Lord Jesus done and done away with the law. So then we go over to Romans, the 6th chapter. We have to read it. It all ties right in together. It says, well, if grace abounds that much more, so when sin abounds, then do we continue on in sin? He said, God forbid. You see, so then we're going to have to go into the indoctrination of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And if the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the power of God, but the Bible said that there's some that have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. But the Holy Ghost is the power of God. He told them to tarry there until they receive this power. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is the power of what? It is the power of God to make you to be an overcomer. It is a power of God to make you greater than a conqueror, according to the Word of God. It is the power of God that is dwelling within you that makes you greater than the one on the outside, that outer garment of iniquity. The one greater in you is greater than he that's in the world. The one that's in the world is the first birth. And we find that this outer garment of iniquity, the outer man, light being formed within the darkness, and the light being that understanding of the Spirit of Christ dwelling on the inside, the darkness being the outer garment of iniquity, the things of the first birth of the carnal mind, we find the light dwelling within that. And we find that this light shining forth out of that. Again, we go back over into the Genesis, and we find that when he said he found this earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and he spoke light. That wasn't speaking about this earth, it was. Let me reframe. Yes, it's speaking about this natural earth, but we're speaking about the physical earth, this being the earthen vessel. And in your first birth, your darkness without void, and as the Spirit of God moved over the waters and spoke into an existence, light. Light is understanding, and understanding is what brings you to eternal life and to be born again, because the Bible says that my people perish from a lack of knowledge. The Bible says over in Psalms 84, 82, 1, it says that ye are gods, but ye die like mere men because of a lack of knowledge. What is the knowledge? It is the light of the Word. It's the light that comes when the Spirit of God moves over you. So we find that we are partakers of the light because the Bible says that we are the children of light, children of the resurrection. So when we understand that this light goes to understanding, we know that in the end times, the Bible says that there will be a sevenfold light has to do with the seven church ages and the seven church age messengers and the seven spirits of God spoke about in the book of Revelations. So you say seven spirits of God, it doesn't do with seven gods. The Bible said there's one God, one faith, one baptism. And we know that there's one God, but we find these seven spirits and it's the same spirit. When we go over and we read in Corinthians and it talks about the gifts of God and we talk about these nine gifts, but it says all and one of the same spirit. And these seven church age messengers were all one in the same spirit. It's where the Bible says it's the same spirit that dwelled within the Lord Jesus Christ that will dwell within your mortal body, that will raise you up from the dead, that'll take and change you from mortal into immortality. It's all one in the same spirit. It's the same spirit, according to the scriptures, that dwelled within the Lord Jesus Christ. So it dwelling within you. Why? Because you are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You are one with Him. That's the mystery. He said, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh, and the woman being saved through childbearing according to the scriptures. So we find that the woman being saved is you being the bride, because God repented that He even made man. But then He looked at man into the physical realm, into the feminine gender, because the thing is when we say the bride of Christ, we know that's feminine. We know there's no male nor female in the spirit. So we step back one dimension of projection into the soul realm. Much to be said there when we speak about these things. Many of you perceive and understand and comprehend from your many months and years of indoctrination of these things. But I will say this, it is the Word. You know, we quit playing around with the doctrines of denominationalism. We get into the Word, into the meat of the Word. We're commanded to go into the meat of the Word. Where Brother Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said, you should be teaching these things by now, but I'm finding that you're apt or having to be taught. So, brothers and sisters, it's commanded of us to get into the Word. The Bible said to understand the heights, the depths, the widths, and the lengths, that we need to come to these teachings and understanding. You say, is it necessary to salvation? I'm not going to say it's necessary to salvation because of the grace of God. If a man cries out with a true, genuine heart, he confesses with his mouth and he believes in his heart, yes, that man can find salvation. But I'm talking about the staying power of the infilling of the Spirit of God to walk an overcoming life. You will know that a man is born of God and he's born again because he lives an obedient lifestyle. If you see a man continuing in the frolics of the world and the love of the world, it's because he has not the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us. He said that the ones that whoever they render their body or give their body to servant or to be servant of is who you are of. If you give your body to be utilized by the works of the world and the things of the world, then the Bible teaches that you are of your father, the devil. But when the Bible says to give your life as a living sacrifice is your reasonable service. So when you give your body over to the Lord Jesus Christ and you give Him, that's your reasonable service. It don't mean part of it. It doesn't mean just on Sundays or on Wednesdays or Fridays. It means that you give your life as a living sacrifice. You give Him every breath, every thought, everything. You become a servant of the Most High God. He becomes your king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It doesn't matter. This doesn't bypass presidents of any country or any kingly or priestly activities that you do or partake of in this world. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the thing is when you come to that knowledge and that understanding and you confess Him as King and Lord, He sets up ruler and headship over you, and we submit to Him willingly because we are the bride. And the Bible teaches the woman being in subjection to the husband, he being our husbandman. We subject ourselves to Him. That's again in the physical realm, or we say the second dimension or second heaven. Again, where we say, I know it gets into doctrines again where people say, I've never heard of the first heaven or the second heaven, but Paul said, or John said, I know, not knowing whether in body or spirit, but 14 years ago being caught away into the third heaven. So when we think of the third heaven, we know that there must again be a first and second. We need to understand dimensional projections of the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven, and revelations won't make any sense to you, because you know the devil was cast out of heaven, but then he said, I show you mystery, found that red dragon in heaven. We know it was the second heaven because he was being cast out of the third. The second heaven being parallel with the soul realm, we know he was cast out of the spirit realm, so we find that in the spiritual realm in the third heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells, that as Satan being cast out of there because of trying to overthrow him, even though that we become equal with him by being heir with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't go greater. Said, greater things can you do than even what he done? And that's because it's a many-membered body and we've come full of the Spirit of God and we're about the Father's business. Many things could be said. I know that some of these things could be hard to perceive and to come to, but we just pray for the grace and understanding of God and pray. The Bible says that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, and when he will grant the spirit of revelation into you, these things come alive to you. And it's like a child coming out of the first grade or going into the second, third, or whatever, junior high school. There's a perspective of indoctrination that he goes into the next level. And it's the same way if we take our children and send them to school for 12 years into indoctrination for natural things, that they could be productive citizens and go out and get their college degrees or go out and hold down jobs and businesses, how much more so than when we're pressing our way into the things of God and kicking against the pricks of this world and the things of this world and the cares of the world and fighting against principalities and powers and those things in high places. Then the thing is what makes us think that we're going to come to church and say a little prayer and all of a sudden we've got understanding. I marvel many times people that don't give their life to the scriptures and to the study of the word and to the word. They got saved last week or last month or whatever, or 5 years ago. They don't give their self to the word of God, and they'll hear something through some carnal-minded preacher that's lost on his way to hell, and they'll come and stand before you and dispute with the word, and the word's not even there or within them. Amen. And I'm not sitting here boasting within myself. Paul said, I'm beside myself, and I do boast in the things of Christ. Amen. I boast in the Word of God. I don't boast in any denomination. I don't boast in any Bible college. I don't boast in anything as such, but I do praise God for the Spirit of revelation. I praise God for the Word of God and the Word of life. I praise God for the anointing and the Spirit of life, and I praise God for the infilling and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Bible says that that is the Spirit of knowledge. He said that he will give us that, and he said that we have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. You say, Brother Rob, do you know all things? No, I have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. And whatever that I would need to know to function within this world, or within this life, or to help, to indoctrinate, or teach, he will give that to us by the unction of the Spirit. By the, just as might say that, Brother Rob, do you understand physics? Or do you understand this and that? And I say, well, not like I maybe should or like to, but I know the place to go. I can go down here to the public library and I can pull it out. Well, let me tell you something. There is a spirit world, brothers and sisters, that we tap into through prayer, through faith. And we tap into this world and he brings us an understanding because of the unction from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Bible says that the impossible things are made possible with God. Amen. So that's where we're at. I'm going to look for a place just to close here. I know we opened up many thoughts and many things and said many, many things this evening. But I will say this. Pray that God would grant the spirit of revelation and these things will come through to understanding. It's like I challenge many people on the way of radios, on the way of we send out CDs and tapes and messages and different things. And I challenge people. I said, before you disagree with me, I said, first, find out what dimension I'm speaking in. According to the scriptures, there's, if we go back over into 1 John where we was at there into the 5th chapter there, it said that there's three that agree within the earth, water, blood, and spirit. And you're going to have to understand if you're going to be in agreement with me if I was speaking in the water world or in the blood world or in the spirit world. And then it said that there's three in heaven that are one. The three in the earth, water, blood, spirit, they agree in one. There's three witnesses in heaven, and these three are one. And it is the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. It didn't say that they were three gods. It didn't say they were three persons. It said that they are one. So we understand Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and we understand body, soul, and spirit. So many times I might speak as a man. And many times people don't usually dispute with you as a man because they think as a man. But when you become where the Bible said that we are transforming our mind into the mind of Christ, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and He commanded us to transform our mind into His mind. And we are, as we transform into the mind of Christ through the transformation of mind, the regeneration, and by being born again. And as we transformate into that mind, then we speak of that world. So when you hear me speaking as like where the exhortation came forth that I spoke a minute ago, He said, I would like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. I would like to speak to you as a child of God, He could have said. I would like to speak to you as a son of God, but I find you still acting like a man. And the Bible again says that ye are gods, but you die like mere men from a lack of knowledge. If you're a son of God, then you are a god. You see, that's what you're born into. You can't say that as your first birth. You say, Brother Rob, do you think you're a god? No, I don't think I'm a god. I was born as a man. What you see is you're observing the lying vanity, the life of the man. You see, unless you could see beyond the veil according to the scriptures, then you would see into the spirit realm. And being born again, the Bible said that the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the second man being a quickening spirit. So what is this saying, Brother Rob? I'm telling you that in my born again, it's okay to call the devil God, isn't it? That's what they do. He said He's the God of this world. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus said, ye are gods. That's what they crucified Jesus for. I'll go back to that scripture again, looking for a place to close. When the Lord Jesus asked them, when the mobs were there before them, and He says, hey, just speaking to them. He says, for what good works are you going to stone me for? And they said, not for good works, because you're mere man, making yourself to be God. And that's when He turned to him and replied. But He said, but isn't it written in the scriptures that ye are gods? See, He tried to reason with them with what is written, what is within their own word. In this day and hour, it's the same way, brothers and sisters. The scriptures that I read to you tonight, there's ministers in this area, in this town, in America, that would put you to death. I wrote a letter to a president of the Hell's Angels, which is my brother. And I told him in a letter, I said, brother, I said, let me tell you something. And I said, listen closely to what I'm saying. Just paraphrasing what I put on written page. And I said, if you took myself and you and put us before the people of America and said, you're going to have to choose one and put them to death. I said, brother, you can count one thing for sure, that you would be the one set free. And you say, surely not. And they said, Barabbas, 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 free him. And they killed the Son of God. They put him to death. And they took him free to murder. You see, and you say, why would they do that? Because the Bible said that they hated him first. And it said that when you have him dwelling within you, the Lord Jesus Christ, it said because they hated him first, that they will also hate you. Now, brothers and sisters, if I would preach the indoctrination that the churches are preaching in America today, I would have many friends and wouldn't have no problems and no controversies and things. I'd have to line up with their filth and their immorality. I'd have to become just like the rest of the mass majorities. But the Bible said it's a small flock, few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. You might say, Brother Rob, do you think that this little church is the only one? No, I'm not that ignorant, not that narrow-minded. I think that God has the saints of God throughout this world, but I think it's a small flock. I don't think it's like the last statistics that says 170 million people in America are Christians. I can't believe that. You say, well, maybe you should believe it. Don't you believe in the grace of God? Yes, I do believe in the grace of God. And the grace of God is the blood on the mercy seat that these people of America, these 170 million, have an opportunity to hear the word of God. And they have opportunity to make changes and to make a confession for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the grace of God. That's why the blood's on the mercy seat. It's not there to trample it under our feet. It's not there to make an open shame and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not there to crucify Him afresh in this day and hour. It is there that the sin and the things that would be imputed to you as a man would be held back from you, for you could come to an understanding why the Spirit of God is drawing. And when you come to the understanding of that, then you make the changes and you put that old man away and you mortify the deeds that which would be of the flesh according to the scriptures. You mortify the deeds of flesh. You crucify that first birth, that old man out. and you become a new creature in Christ. That's why the blood's on the mercy seat. The blood is not there for you to trample it under your feet. The Bible said once you've tasted of this world to come, once you've been enlightened with this, and then you go back into willful sin, it says there is remaineth no more sacrifice for that. This teaching and indoctrination that you go ahead and sin every day, and he forgives you and forgives you, that's not what the Bible says. All you got to do is open it up and read. And it teaches it right there in Hebrews. It said that you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. You say, what is that? Hell. Unless you're a child of God. The fiery indignation of God is that same fire that John the Baptist spoke about. He said, one comes greater than I that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that's that fiery indignation of God. And he said that he chastens them that he loves. And if you're a child of God, he chastens you when you're disobedient. And he'll bring you into an obedient lifestyle through the chastening. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. And when you go out into willful sin, then the thing is if you are a child of God, you will be chastened for that. And he'll line you up and bring you to a point in your walk that you'll turn away from those things that are displeasing with God. Amen. Well, there's many things that could be said and much more that we can go on, but we're going to find a place here to close. So let's all stand. Amen. Let's sing a song or two, brothers and sisters, as we close the service this evening. Again, as I say so oftentimes, until you come to a dimensional understanding, and if you don't agree with something I say, make sure, first of all, if I was speaking naturally, physically, or spiritually, if I was speaking of the body or the soul or the spirit, because again, there's things I could say as a spirit that I can't say as a man. Do you realize that as being a born-again individual, there's things I can say as a born-again individual that if I spoke that as a man, it would be blaspheming? You see, it would be contributed to me as blaspheming. If I, being a man, turned and told you that I was a God, that's blaspheming. Do you realize that? And you say, well, that's what you preached tonight. Well, see, you didn't understand what I said whatsoever at all, did you? I said that I was born as a man, but I was crucified with Christ, according to Galatians 2:20. I no longer live. And if you observe this life of this man, the Bible says that you forsake your own mercies because you're observing lying vanities. So how in the world could I be speaking and saying that I'm a God when I no longer live? That man was crucified and done away with and buried in a watery grave of baptism, resurrected as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, you said, didn't you just say that Jesus said that you are God's? That's right. But you see, that's the born again, the inner man. You see, if he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, if he made himself twain, both son of man and both son of God, and he's the firstborn of many brethren, then what am I? I'm both son of man and both son of God. So then what is it? The son of man part was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. What do you mean the evidence of things not yet seen? No, you don't see it. The Bible said that the world is yearning and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. So if there were longing and yearning for that, but does it change the fact? It said right there that now ye are the sons of God. Didn't we just read that tonight? It says now ye are the sons of God, but the world is longing for that manifestation. So how is that going to happen and what's going to take place? That's the transfiguration or with the redemption of the body. So when we with the redemption of the body and we go through the transfiguration, we say the metamorphosis. And when this takes place and we're changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, then the Jew, which is the natural elect, but we're the spiritual elect, and the Jew comes back up and sets up rule and reign right out of Jerusalem. And then it's a whole different dispensation altogether. That's when the 483 and the 7 comes back in to complete the 490. And we say the 70th week of Daniel, or that 70th, or those weeks come back together when that comes back in. And when that comes in, then there's a fulfillment of all things right there.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.